From the beginning of the year, we've entered the year saying that we're going to believe God for healing. And this is healing in every part of our body, not just body, but our emotions, in our relationships. We're going to believe God for healing just about in every faculty of our being. Just in case some of you are wondering, we've not lost sight of that. Because at the beginning of the year, I always say this, as the Lord leads. And one of the things the Holy Spirit said to me was that, don't just rush into it. I want to remind my people of what I have said in my word. So from the beginning of the year until now, what I've been doing is sharing with you as the Lord has shared with me. So that reminding you of a lot of things, just a few things were new, like the camels are coming. That was a new sermon that I preached. But God is in the building, and He is in the business as well of healing.
Amen.
Can I get a loud amen?
Yes.
Yeah, He's in the business of healing. So keep sight of that, because we've talked about a lot of things that actually contribute to that, lay the foundation for that. And some of them I'm going to mention now. In the month of January, I preached on the five excuses of Moses in 2 weeks. And the five excuses of Moses just examined. God called Moses and told him he had a great commission for him to do. And Moses came up with every excuse why he couldn't. Okay? And we looked at that. Then we looked at also in the month of January, getting from the problem to the solution. So we have a problem, but how do we get there? This is no new messages. I've preached these before. How do we get there? And we looked at that for 2 weeks. Then in the month of February, we talked about the power of praise, the importance of praise in laying the foundation to getting you to where you need to be in terms of changing atmospheres. We spoke about that as well, and creating the platform for God to work. I spoke about where is your heart, and then we spoke also about healing waters, part one from Ezekiel 47, and we looked at how the healing waters flowed from the temple and what happened to it, where it flowed. We looked at that in part two. We saw trees on either side of the river and the significance of trees, and trees are people, and God plants people. And God wants people healed. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We looked also at emotional healing. We looked at the subject called, in April, the camels are coming. We looked at what the resurrection brings. The resurrection just doesn't bring healing, but it brings a lot more. It brings hope. Okay? Hope for us in this life and after this life. We looked at humility and obedience. Two things working together, and the importance of them working together in order to get what God wants us to have. We have to be humble, and we have to also be obedient, do what God's word says that we should do. We also looked at God's greatest desire, and we said that God's greatest desire is actually fellowship. And God wants to participate with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to share. He wants an exchange to be going on between us and Him. We looked at that subject. We looked at a prayer and purpose, and we said that they are inseparable twins, and they work together. You cannot fulfill or find your purpose without prayer, and prayer without understanding what your purpose is kind of just aiming at nothing. You're just shooting arrows, but you're not really aiming. So you need to know what your purpose is. You are here for a reason. Can I get an amen, church? You are here for a reason. God has given you a purpose, and it's our business. It's in our requirement. It's in our side of things to pursue and to find out what that purpose is. And last week I spoke to you about the force of favor and how the force of favor is actually in our lives, and God wants to do so many different things in terms of what He's already done. Some of the things He's already done and provided, and God wants to do much more in terms of that. Now, what I want to do this morning is sort of, this is just some of the subjects that we looked at, okay, since January. And what I want to do today is just remind you of a few things, and then we pray. We're going to pray, we're going to believe God, and then we're going to go home. We just sang a while ago that your goodness is running after, it's running after me. How many people believe that? Your God's goodness is running after. It's not just a song, it's not a pretty song. Joan was right on par with the songs that we sang today. I was looking at the words and I was saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Don't know if I can remind myself of a few of them. Yeah, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about God. Why are we here? It's about the Lord, isn't it? It's about Him. We're here to worship Him, to praise Him. We're here to share, to participate, you know, to create that atmosphere. So please do not forget that you are atmosphere changers. Okay? And when we come here, you're going to come here deliberately. You're going to come here purposefully to give God your very best. Okay? Because He's here to receive it. Because your God has good things in store for you. And I remind you, the camels are coming. We're not just going to preach things and leave it. I've been praying that through, you know, and thanking God because He gave me that word. And I thank God for that, just like every other word, really. And I've been thanking God. I said, Lord, if You spoke it, You're not speaking in vain. And we're not just here. Listen, church, we're not just here to go through the motions, leave and then live our lives any other how and then gather back whenever we gather back to go through the motions again. No, we gather with purpose. Come on, somebody shout purpose. We gather with purpose. There was another song. There was another song, but I forgot. Alright, never mind. I can't find it on this list. But I know it's there. But anyway, listen. Healing is a spiritual force. It's a spiritual force. Please remember that. And remember what we said. What you tell me. What did we say a force is? What did I say a force is? I preach on several different types of forces. And recently I preached on the force of favor last week. What did I say a force was? What is a force? You didn't listen to me. All right, listen. A force is something that causes change. Repeat after me. A force is something that causes change. All right, that's what a force is. Now, the force can be good, the force can be bad. And we looked at that. I'm not going to go there again. But the thing about the force of healing, the force of healing comes to bring about change. The beautiful thing about that is this. It is constant. There's never a time when God's healing force is not flowing. Now, I'm not talking about the anointing. Sometimes you go into certain services and the service is anointed for healing. I'm not talking about an anointed service for healing. I'm talking about wherever you are, at home, here, at work, in your car, walking on the street. God's healing force is constant. In other words, guess what? You have access to it wherever you are. Wherever you are, you have access to it. All right. And we looked at this, and we looked at a number of things, and we looked at healing before. I'm not going to teach this morning. But we understand that faith plays a vital part, and that's why faith is important, and that's why God says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Because when you come to God believing for healing, you've got to believe that He is, and that He can reward you with that healing. You've got to believe for that. Can I get an amen? You've got to believe for your healing. It's there. It's constant. The force of it is constant. But you've got to make a faith claim. And if you don't make that claim, maybe that's why you're not healed. You've got to make that claim. Don't sit down and wait for somebody to come and pray with you or whatever else. Thank God for that. Biblical precedence for that. But you don't need to do that because God has made it available for you. A constant flow of healing, church. Alright, it is God's will for you to be healed, okay? Jesus' ministry exemplified that. John chapter 5 verse 30. Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So when Jesus was here in His ministry, and we looked at this, He wasn't doing His own thing, He was doing what the Father had commissioned Him to do. John 6:38, everything that Jesus said and did was an expression of the Father's will. In Acts 10:38, we see that scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see even there that God anointed Jesus, his son, okay, to go about doing good, to go about healing people, because that's the Father's heart. That's the Father's will, and we just said it, that Jesus never does anything except that which the Father does. Now, we must base our faith on God's word for our healing. And I'll give you a couple of scriptures. I won't look them up. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Very famous chapter. And Matthew 8 and verse 17. There are two words in the New Testament for the word salvation. You will read them, the word salvation, in various scriptures, and I think Matthew 18 is one of them. Matthew 8 is one of them, verse 17. One word is sozo, and that word means it means to save. It means to save from something that's temporarily going wrong, or it could mean to eternally save. So essentially that word means to save. But the other word for salvation is soteria. And that soteria, that word soteria means to deliver. It means to everything gained, everything that you need is gained and nothing missing. So you're delivered from whatever it is that you need deliverance from. Okay, so the two words are kind of similar, but a little bit different. Okay, and thank God we have access to both. God saves us eternally by faith. We are saved. We're in his kingdom. Can I get an amen? But also on this earth, while we're going through life and we experience things, things going wrong at times, things not going our way at times, things going contrary, and we find ourselves maybe in a pit, in a rot hole, and God is able to save. Amen? He's able to take us out of that rot hole, out of that pit, wherever we may find ourselves. And so we thank God for his word and for his love and his grace. I think, you know, one of the songs we sang this morning was talking about the mercy of God, you know, and how good God is. I can't remember the exact words. Now, if our faith is not based on God's word, it is based on something or someone else. And that's very dangerous. So when we come to God, we've got to believe that is. We might be praying for some folks in a moment. Now, when you come forward, you're coming not to Pastor David, but you're coming to an invisible altar. Remember what we said about altars? Altars are invisible places of exchange. So as you come to the altar, you're laying down, but you're also by faith picking up what God has for you. You got me, church? So you're not just coming forward because, oh, I want somebody to pray for you. Yes, you don't want somebody to pray for you, but you're coming to make an exchange. So it's a deliberate act of faith that you're doing, and you're coming in faith. By the way, the word faith, Greek word pistis, it means firm persuasion, to be fully persuaded. All right, so if you're not fully persuaded, if you don't have a firm persuasion, you're not in faith. And we need to be in faith. So you've got to be fully persuaded that God will do what he said he would do. Yeah, you've got to be fully persuaded that when you come for prayer, for healing, God is going to do that. Yes. Amen? Amen? Something happened to me in the week. I won't mention details about what it was, but it was very troubling to my body, to be honest. And I said, you know what? I just took authority over the thing immediately. Something happened that had never happened to me before in my whole life. And the thing that happened was very, very scary. If I'm honest, it was very scary. And never happened to me before. I don't know what caused it until now. But immediately, I took a hold of God's word that was here, you know. And I reminded God of his promises and what he said. And I said, I take authority right now over this thing that happened. Right now, I take authority over it. And I just started to declare in the name of Jesus Christ that everything is well. And one of the things that I did was I declared, and I do this frequently, I can't say daily because I haven't done it this morning, but I declared frequently, church, you know we have power in our words, don't you? All right, you know that our words are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. You know that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So, you know, when you see negative things happen to your body, don't speak the negative. Don't look at the negative and say, oh my gosh, what, look at this, blah, 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 blah. Don't say that, okay? Say what God says. Say what His Word says. And if God has called forth or made healing available for you, do that. So that's what I did. And one of the things I do very regular is I name the systems in our body. Okay? And I just make a decree that every system in my body, my excretory system, my reproductive system, I have to be careful when I pray that one. But I just declare that, you know, my every sort of system, our nervous system, our skeletal system, our muscular system, I declare and I decree that it is functioning well in Jesus' name. You know? It's just like your food. Some years ago, I shared with you a picture of someone, two bowls of rice. And someone did an experiment, and in that experiment, they spoke negative words over one bowl for about 3 days. I can't remember how long, but they spoke negative words over that. And then they spoke positive words over the other one. They blessed one, and if you like, they cursed the other one. And both foods were prepared at the same time, and when you look after that period of time, whatever period it was, 3 days or whatever it was, when you looked at both, one looked rotten and horrible, the other one looked nice and fresh. And it's simply because, and people don't realize it, some people even out there in the world that aren't Christians realize that there's power in words. And that happened just because of the confessions that we're making, the declarations that we're making out of their mouth in the form of words. Because our words are what? They are spirit and they are life. Because what? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So when we speak, we are creating an atmosphere right there. Something is happening right there. Especially someone who said over and over and over again. This is why when something doesn't happen, you come up for prayer and you come up for healing and then nothing happens. Don't go back and say, oh, nothing happened. They prayed for me and nothing happened. Don't do that. You go back and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for the touch. I know it's not manifested fully yet, Lord, but I know you've done it in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me, church? You've got to be aggressive in the spirit. You can't be weaky, weaky, thank you, thank you. You can't be like that. You've got to know God, and you've got to know His Word, and you've got to stand firm on His Word. So that's what I did over my body this week. And whatever happened has not recurred. It happened about Monday. I haven't even shared it with Joy. May share it with her a bit later. I just said, Lord, this is me and you. And I brought it to God. I stood up on His Word and I rebuked that thing in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me? Because what the devil wants to do, folks, is keep you from your purpose. That's what he wants to do. If you are sick, you cannot fulfill your purpose. Are you hearing me? You cannot function the way that God wants you to function. So do not take sickness and keep it or pit it up and say, well, this is my portion and this is my thing. Do everything that you can to obey God's word. You know, be amongst God's people. Get people to pray for you. Use that telephone prayer chain. Show up in the prayer meetings. Show up in church. I do not understand how people can be sick and stay away from church. You can find yourself everywhere else. Everywhere else that's put on. But when it comes to church, oh, I couldn't make it because blah, blah, blah. No, sometimes you've got to push yourself. Oh, you're not hearing me, man. Sometimes you've got to push yourself. Because the plan of the enemy is to be from the place where the anointing is. The corporate anointing I'm talking about now. Where God can do what He wants to do amongst His people. But when an enemy sees a Christian that is determined that no matter what, I'm going to be in the house of God. No matter what, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand on His word. No matter what, I'm going to be there. You know what he will do? The Bible says this. What you're doing by obeying God is you're resisting the enemy. And he will eventually flee. That's what will happen. But you see, when you don't do that, when you don't resist and you just give in, you just cave in and all these excuses come up. No change. No difference. No change, no difference at all. So we're going to make up our mind. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to pursue God? Alright, God's blessings are in hot pursuit after me, but am I in hot pursuit after Him? Do I love the Lord? Am I going to obey His word? Or am I going to just excuse myself from doing what God wants me to do? Many people don't like this kind of preaching, but that's where we're at. That's where we're at, and that's what we've got to actually face. And we've got to be honest with ourselves. Now listen, Proverbs 18 verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. And that's what some people do when they have problems. They isolate themselves. You can't do that. You're sick, you isolate yourself. You can't do that. Doesn't work. Not God's way. Write this one down. I can't remember using this scripture before, but maybe I have. I don't know. Proverbs 19 verse 3. The foolishness of a man twists his way. When I decide I'm going to do things my way because you don't understand what I'm going through. And the foolishness of a man twists his way and his heart frets against the Lord. His heart frets against the Lord. Now, there's a translation called God's Word Translation. I don't know if you've heard of it. This is what that verse says, Proverbs 19, verse 3. The stupidity of a person turns his life upside down, and his heart rages against the Lord. So Proverbs 18, verse 1, we see when a man isolates himself, he rages against wisdom. And wisdom comes from God. You know, the good kind of wisdom I'm talking about. And Proverbs 19, verse 3, we see, right, that the stupidity of a person not only turns his life upside down, but rages against the Lord. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants you to prosper and be in good health. Can I get an amen? A prosperous soul is one that has its mind renewed by the word of God. Not just hearing the word, but renewed. In other words, in your meditating, you're muttering, you're musing on God's word. God's word is in you and you are revolving it, renewing your spirit and your soul compartment is in communion. Psalm 119 verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful ways, or wonderful works rather. And remember what I said, a precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior and thought. Because the Word of God mentions precepts a lot. And what it is, it's just a general rule that's there to regulate behavior and thought. 1 John 5:16. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Isn't that good news? And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. And that's the NIV version. I'll read that verse again because I read it badly. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. You know, this verse is really talking about faith. It's really talking about, listen, if I approach God, if I come this morning and I'm asking God for something, I know that I have it. That's what the writer here is saying. I know that I've got it. Because our God is good. We sing about it, we talk about it, we read it. Our God is good, and our good God gives good things to His people. Did you know that you serve a good God?
Amen.
He's got your best interest at heart. And the good God that we serve wants to help us out and wants to show us that we've got more than we think. For some weeks I've been, let me just share this with you and then I'm going to stop. Let me just share this with you. For some weeks I've been saying that, you know, I've been quoting, you know, this in my prayer time, and sometimes even here I've echoed that scripture. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this, yesterday I think it was, I heard another preacher quote that verse. I said, yeah, that's a verse I've been quoting a lot. And it's true. Jesus is building His church. The church is you and I. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, who was Jesus speaking to when he said that? He was speaking to Peter. And you remember the conversation that Jesus had with Peter is Matthew 16, 18. Okay? Matthew 16, a few verses there. And in verse 18, Jesus made this declaration. But Jesus said, asked Peter the question, who do men say that I am? And then he asked him, who do you say that I am? And it's okay to hear people's opinion about me, but Peter, who do you say that I am? What was Peter's response? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? That word Christ, it means you are the anointed one with his anointing. That's what the word Christ means. It means anointed. You are the anointed one with the anointing. Sent from God, of course. Okay? And then Jesus turned around and he said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You know what Jesus was saying? He's saying, Peter, you don't understand the enormity of what you have just said. What you have just said or echoed from your mouth is a truth that is bigger than you even realize. It went past your brain and you just came out of your mouth. Peter, you have echoed something that I don't think you fully comprehend. And sometimes, folks, you know, and then Jesus, let me finish this. Jesus went on to say, he said to him that you are Peter. And that's where I think it's all right, never mind. The Peter, that you are Peter, that's Petro, a small throwable stone. And then he said, but upon this rock, Petra, an immovable, a large immovable stone, I will build my church. What was Jesus saying to Peter? He said, Peter, you're a small throwable stone, but on this rock I'm going to build my church. What rock was he talking about? And you may answer. Listen to this very carefully. This is my interpretation. Right? Jesus was talking about Peter's confession. Yeah. You are a small, throwable stone, Peter. You're insignificant without me. Peter, you're just something small. Was somebody there? Oh, okay, sorry. All right. You're supposed to, but he said, but upon this rock, that's his confession he was talking about. Upon what, Peter, upon what you have said, upon your confession, I'm going to build my church. Yeah. What was Peter confessing? He was confessing truth. Are you hearing me, folks? Yeah. He was confessing truth. And Jesus said, upon this truth, Peter, I know that there's various different interpretations, but this is the one I believe to be most accurate. Jesus was looking at him and saying, upon this rock, upon that truth, I'm going to build my church. And truth is so profound. Guess what? Jesus called himself truth. He said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. No man can come to the Father. Many words lead to God. No man can come to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. So he was talking about his confession. So folks, what I'm saying here, and I'm ending with this, make sure that your confession, your decrees, your declarations, okay, are coming from your heart. And make sure that they're coming out in faith. One of the things that the Lord showed me some time ago, never pray for people unless you are prayed up and unless you really believe for what you are praying for. Are you with me? Never do that. Make sure that when you're praying for people, you are believing, you are prayed up, and that you are believing for what you're going to pray for. The Lord said to me in the week, no PowerPoint today. I said, okay, what am I going to minister on? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I said, okay, Lord, so be it. And this morning, this is what the Lord sort of dropped into my spirit. This morning. He said, okay, this is what I want you to just exalt on that and remind my people about who I am and about what I provided for them and about what, you know, we need to do. So folks, we need to believe God. Oh my gosh, that was so weak. I said, church, we need to believe God. We need to believe God, man. We can't come and go through the motions, man. Show God and demonstrate to God that you really love Him, that you mean business with Him. Say, yes, Lord, I believe you and I trust you. And you know what? When you come and you worship God, make sure you come ready and prepared to break down barriers, to break down walls in Jesus' name. And over the coming months, church, when we pray for folks and when we come up, you come up believing or stay in your seat and believe. And you don't even have to wait for that to happen. You know, you can raise your hand as you stand up right where you are. And God is able. Can I get a witness? He's able, man. He's able. I didn't call on anybody during the week. And I'll be honest, I thought that, I don't want to make it sound kind of, but I thought I'd be in the hospital. I don't want to go into no more detail with that, you know, but it was serious, you know. Sorry, Joy. I'll explain later. But just right then in that moment, I said, no, it's between me and God. And I let my faith get a hold of God's word, you know, and just declare, decree, declare, decree, declare, decree in Jesus' name. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, bring your strong reasons before Him. So that's what we're going to do. That's another thing we have to do. Lord, you said in your word. And Lord, you don't speak lightly. And what you say, you mean. But recognize that every force that's coming against you to prevent you from opening your mouth, prevent you from being in church, from prevent you from worshiping, you've got power over it. You've got power. Your confession means a lot. Homologia, the Greek, to say the same thing, say the same word. When you say what God says, man, boom, and you believe it, there's power right there in Jesus' name. Let's stand up on our feet, folks.